burning anger, and dents are vowed. His lips are full of wrath, and his tongue is consuming fire. This sounds like somebody's upright. I mean, listen to the description. Burning anger, clouds of smoke, a fiery furnace coming at you. Almost reminds me of, is it raining that hard? His breath, his lips are full of wrath. His tongue is a consuming fire. His breath is like a rushing torrent rising up to the neck. All right. We have also often said, read, if you look in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, let us, plural, make man in our image. If you don't think that God has a shape or a form, what are these words? Lips, tongue, breath, neck. We are made in the image of God. Now, whether he's 1,000 feet tall or whether he's the size that we are, I've never been told that. I know that he sits on a throne, so he is made to sit down in a chair at the judgment seat. But why could he not be? Then we know that all consuming God is God. Isaiah 30, chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 27. You want to look? So his breath is like a rushing torrent. It overwhelms you. Have you ever been in water and think it's going to take you down? Or maybe even in a wave or something that has taken you down? Was it 2 weeks ago? They lost 2 people. Was I thinking Captain or Sanibel? They got out of there. The water, the tides have come to those that, what do you call it? Rip current. And if you get in a rip current, don't go with it. Let it just drop it off a little bit. You've got to fight it, you're gone. That's the vision I see of a torrent. Rises up your neck. When I'm standing in the swimming pool, it's up your neck pretty good. So you take that one more step, and it's above your nose, then that's not as good. There's an Olympic sport. I'm not sure it's a sport. But they call it a sport. Anybody ever seen water polo? You ever watch that? I heard on the news yesterday. Are you ready for this? Football, karate, judo, hockey, baseball. We're going to see the kid that hit the hand with baseball. He missed the catch and he was squirting a pimple, knocked him cold. Embarrassed. Of all the sports that athletes play, water polo causes more concussions than all of them. Water polo. Who would have thought that? Now, we used to have a University of Kentucky did a water polo team. You know where I'm from, with the horses. All the horses drowned, they couldn't hit it. He shakes the nations in a sieve of destruction. Now, I'm assuming the word you use back home is a sieve. This description I can give is it's like the shape of a funnel, big at the top. And it looked like somebody wrapped a screen around it, a porch screen. And it would shake it, it breaks up the flour or whatever you got. Isn't that what y'all call a sieve? Okay, good. I thought it was a lot of them. And you mount it and shake it. And particularly, I like to do it when you do a powdered sugar, confectionery sugar, breaks it up to the little grains and you shake it on top of it. They do that all the time on a cooking show. I have to go get a spoonful of it. It just looks so good. He shakes the nation like a sieve of destruction. He's breaking them apart and separating the pieces. He places in the jaws of the people a bit that leads them astray. Well, now, you know what a bit is. What was in the horse's mouth? Pull to the right, from the bridle, turn to the right, pull to the left, turn to the left, pull it backward, it stops, let it go, and it runs you dead. The bit leads astray. Now, God, remember, who are we talking about? The name of the Lord comes from a fire. God is doing this. God loves everybody. How could the world allow all these things to go wrong? I don't see that he allows it. I see that he causes it. Back in the old days, we called it corporal punishment. Remember that term? Anybody here a school teacher beside me? Nobody's a school teacher. You were a school teacher. Were you allowed to do corporal punishment? I was, and I did. grandson is a special ed teacher. Was severely special ed. He has the word guard on his forearm. If the kid bites, one kid bit a hunk out of the guard. Just like a football forearm pad, bit a hunk out of it. He said. And the other day, he got mad. He went down and bit Trey on the knee, took a chunk out of his knee. So when they sent a picture in the school, it was out of there somebody. When you sing as if the night you celebrate a holy festival, your hearts will rejoice, and your people will blow up the flutes in the mouth of the Lord and the rock of Israel, so they know how to act right in the time. Music has always been a celebration to God. We know that. I mean, could I say David in the harp? That would be a pretty good example of music. So, he loves the praises. And there are times, if you look at those Psalms means, if we translate the pure old fashioned, it means songs. That's what it means to mean songs. And some of these will say, written by the song master, or performed at this time. A lot of times they were getting all of Israel together on two different sides, and they would sing different verses back and forth. So music's always been important to God. Well, here they are, the praises. The Lord will cause men to hear his majestic voice. We'll make them see his arm coming down. Raging anger and consuming fire with cloud burst, thunderstorm through hail. What do people learn? May I ask that question? What do people learn? Now, we're told to go and see the face of God. Even when God walked past Moses on the mountain, when he was getting the Ten Commandments, God covered the eyes of Moses because to see the face of God would cause him to die. So here he says, with his arm he reaches down out of heaven. Consuming fire. You ever seen a fire? You ever been around a fire? You know it just takes everything in his path. Did any of y'all ever live in California? Nobody lived in California? You live there? Military. Did you ever see the fires that came from the West Coast and just rolled itself through? Nothing but it. You are down there in Eagle. So they with them it's more important than over. But you watch it, it just rolls through. The first time we lived here back in 1996, 1997, 1998 was a bad fire season. But over in the Murdoch season. Joe, do you have a lot of fires here then? We had them in Murdoch. Even some of them were set by volunteer firemen, which they have something to do. But when it was to get into a grove, like what used to be next door, you all remember how bad that was. It just seemed like it was everywhere. I remember looking, a few branches sticking up like toothpicks, right through.
I have a picture of the Inglewood Church with a fire truck sitting there, and the fire is over top of the fire truck and burning the roof in there.
Yeah, they saved it?
Oh, yeah. They had aluminum windows that melted the frames of aluminum windows.
You wouldn't want to buy a house, would you? Well, that's the word. Consuming fire, raging fire, consuming fire, cloud bursting. Now, I was telling a couple of y'all, yesterday I was in one building all day working. There were 7 thunderstorms that came through that one building. I'm talking about hard, heavy, loud rain, thunder just giving it all over the place. I guess it's lightning giving it all over the place, thunder roaring. And it was, in a metal building at that, it sounded like somebody was dropping BBs on the roof. But, you've been in a hailstorm? You all been in a hailstorm? I've seen a hailstorm up home. And when I worked at the car dealership, just destroyed about 200 cars. Big chunk of marble size of the chunks. But this kind of stuff could be dangerous. The voice of the Lord will shatter Assyria. Here we go, Syria. Norm, turn it to Assyria. Okay, we need it. He thinks he's never missed, you know? Some of y'all reminded me of him. Assyria and Syria has been a problem and is still a problem. That's where all the conflict is going on up north, above Israel. They have been an evil enemy to Israel for hundreds and thousands of years. Assyria, you may have named, I mean, the number one city of Assyria. You may have heard of him.
Good, 10 seconds ago.
Jonah, Nineveh. They were evil. And the Jews hated them. That's why Jonah was so upset when the Lord told him to go save them. They were so upset when he did. So this place is just a blister. It's a center of a blister. Do you ever get and I know some of you boys do, ladies, I know you are too dainty. Do you ever get a splinter in your foot or a thistle in your foot? One of particularly one of those Canadian thistles. And you walk and you let them before you savor it, and all of a sudden it's going to swell up like a big pumpkin. And your grandmother makes you put salts, water, you know, Epsom salts. Cures anything. If you got diarrhea, it cures it. If you got constipation, it cures it. If you're infected, it cures it. If you're skinny, you drink it. It cures that, like your alcohol. Cures everything.
That's
okay.
Right. Preach it.
Huh?
Preach it.
Preach on, brother. And cod liver oil.
Yes.
There you go. Okay, I woke some of you up with that. It said, the voice will shatter Assyria. His sepulcher will strike them down. Pay attention. Don't just worry about what goes on in Fort Myers, Pine Warrior, Cape Coral, Fort Charlotte, or Atlanta, or Boston. Or pay attention to the world. We are just a minor afterthought in the future of the world. It starts in the cradle called Jerusalem and Israel. And just radiates a little rock in the pond and the waves go out. Throw your kid brother in the pond and pull the waves go out. You don't know that. It radiates from Jerusalem and Assyria and Egypt and all that area. Babylon, which of course is what? Persia, which of course is what? Iran. Are all in the middle of it. That's why we need to pay attention to what goes on in Israel.
So they have three ships.
Got one this week. Is that number four?
Yes, three.
Three? They're trying to start trouble. You know, we're, the guy was in Bye Bye Black Sheep, Robert Conrad. He put that 9-volt M-rated banner on his shoulder, so he knocked it off. I think it's weaker. That's the little fat guy from North Korea. Too much inbreeding up there. That's what they do. The voice of the Lord will shatter his sepulcher. Or the thing that he holds, the staff that he holds, will strike them down. Assyria is going to die. Now, what would that staff be? Is it a nuclear bomb? Is it the 5th Infantry? Is it the Marines? I don't know. It could be a disease, Ebola or something like that. One of their own bombs could blow up. We don't know. But somehow or other, Assyria will be destroyed. Every stroke the Lord lays on them with his punishing rod will be the music of tambourines and hearts. That's sort of rubbing it in, isn't it? So it seems to me like they're going to have a multitude of hardships. Every stroke. So it could be a disease. It could be an internal war. It could be a multitude of things. Remember, those are the people that worship Allah. Those are the people that will send their children with bombs strapped to them. Those are people that will kill their own family. Those are not God's chosen one. He can't reach them. They won't accept it. His punishing rod will be the music of tambourines and harps as he fights them in battle with the blows of the arms. I think the absolute craziest people in the military are in the Royal British Army or in the Royal Scottish Army. Do you know that at the Battle of D-Day, you all heard of D-Day? Some of you may remember. 1944, I believe, December, June 5th. With the dudes in the front, you know what they were? You know what they was carrying? They weren't carrying bazookas, Tommy guns. Oh, you know what they were carrying? The dudes in the front, bagpipes. Can you imagine marching against the German pillboxes playing bagpipes? I'm surprised some of their own people didn't shoot them just to shut them up. Music, tambourines, harps, as he fights it in battle with the blows of his life. Doesn't sound like things are going to go too well for Assyria. Tobit had been long prepared. Had been made ready for the king. His fire pit had been made deep and wide. If you were ever on a farm or a commercial job or something, we would always dig out a big hole and call it a burn pit. Trash would go in and be a burn. Trash would go in and logs or woods that could even be a burn pit just reduce things down to nothing. It's been made ready. The burn pit, fire pit, is deep and wide. With an abundance of fire and of wood. The breath of the Lord like a stream of burning sulfur set in place. What about that as a prediction? I doubt if that chapter is read very often in Babylon or Baghdad or anywhere in Persia or anywhere in Syria. They probably don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Now, why is that even included in there? Why are there such terrible events? God is love, and God is good, and God is gentle. He lays me down to sleep. Take my soul. Why does he tell us that? So,
because God has been trying for centuries to get the attention of the Jewish people to follow his instructions as he does the truth of the man.
And I'm not sure that most of them still believe. A lot of them still are Jewish by politics more than by true believers. Yeah? I don't want Syria in particular. Why would a loving God bring destruction on people of his creation? There's another description of God as well as love. He's a just God. Yeah. And if he says, if you do this, it will be the punishment for it, it will be the recompense for it, then is he going to keep his word or not? You see, that's where we've got to go with that as well. So it wakes up the Jews and lets them know how special they are, but also it shows that he does keep his word. If you have a law that's never enforced, why bother to have a law? Mr. Morgan and Morgan is going to put up for 750,000 signatures. So we may now have recreational marijuana in the state of Florida. Charles?
I thought all these years all he wanted was medical marijuana to cure his brother.
Well, that's the first step.
Okay.
And now there's going to be the red flag thing, and then they're going to take, pick up your house, Chuck, and take all your guns, because time will turn in. Incrementalism. The devil works with incrementalism. Who would even try that? He does that to me. One little cookie's okay. It won't hurt you. True, mind. But you're not going to tell me that. Any of you ever sit down and think you're going to take one bite of a piece of fudge, one little slice of cake? Before long, you say, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Yeah? That's incrementalism. One good time. It won't hurt this time. I'm going to do it again. I'll run twice. I won't walk today. I won't do my job today. I'll just run twice as much tomorrow. We do that to ourselves, don't we? It's okay. Just this one time. The breath of the Lord is like a stream of burning sulfur. Sets it ablaze. Now, we used to wilt our tobacco down by going inside, closing the bar up. Burning sulfur. I mean, actually burning sulfur. Let me tell you what. You come in the next morning and it's raining dead bugs. Burning sulfur, evidently. So it just makes a poison. All the bugs just didn't jump off the back for no reason. So burning, it will burn bad.
What did they do with
that? Yeah, do we take the mineral water drain out of it and kill the bugs? Or wilt it down pretty good. Yeah, we'll do it. And I tell you what, when you go in, you work the door wide open, but you couldn't want to breathe that stuff. But he says here, a stream of burning soul.
So
I guess y'all remember a couple years ago that they had those continuous volcano flows down in Hawaii. The size of some of those islands almost doubled because when it gets down to the water, it becomes ground, it becomes rock, and it just starts firming the place up. And it's burning the whole time. That's speaking of burning, so you're a petty devil. What was I going to say? Burning sulfur, rose, burning. I'll wake up tonight about 6 o'clock. Call you. Woe to those who go down east. And now we've gone to Syria, which of course, Dorm, is the north. Does that say Syria? I can see that. Is Israel on this map? Israel. Syria, not Syria, is Assyrian evil. North, by northeast of Jerusalem and Israel. Now we're going to Egypt. South, by southwest. We're getting, this is the sand pile here, nobody cares what happened here. Since the guys are going forward. I took care of the ones up north that's been aggravating. Now I want to take care of the ones down south that's been aggravating. And if you remember the history, Israel went to Egypt. 68 souls went there. They were very prosperous. Before long, they became slaves. And from that time on until just recent history, just very recent history, that they've been a worship with each other. They've been at war with each other. Israel has defeated Egypt in our lifetime, best I remember, three times. The 67 war, or the 76 war was the other one. Three wars. And each time, Israel decimated. I followed and got the jump on the 6 day war. Well, what are those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses and trust the monks through their chariots, the great strength of their horsemen? They do not look to the Holy One of Israel to seek help. And didn't seek help from God. They go all the way to Egypt. And several of the kings went down to Egypt and tried to make a deal. You come and fight for us, not with us, but for us, and we'll become, basically, your slaves. We will pay you a tribute, because we're not too good at this, and you're a better fighter than we are. If you notice the part I said about the chariots and the wheels, remind you a little bit of Charlton Heston and Bill Brenner and the escape. Yeah, it's referring to that on purpose. But he says, Egypt's not going to be. All they had to do. Seek help from God. And too often, our best answer is our last answer. You notice when you're looking for something, you finally find it at the last place you look. You know why you find it at the last place you look? Huh? When you find it, you don't have to look anymore. That's exactly right. So it's better to look there first. Well, I'm serious. Better look there first. I lost my wedding ring about several months ago. I looked here, I looked there. I told Becky I know exactly where it is. It's on top of a bottle of honey sitting on our dresser, a bureau. But what I should have figured was underneath the bottle of honey in a drawer in the back of the bureau. And we're cleaning out the bureau dresser. Don't ever spend your all day Saturday cleaning out the bureau dresser. I tell you, I took two garbage bags of pork bacon. It worked that pork anymore. In the back, underneath stuff that I jammed in there to hide it so I wouldn't lose it with my wedding ring. I'm so happy.
Don't take it along. See, I never take my
long. You know more about acid. Sometimes you're lucky to get it. You go down to Egypt. But do not look for the Holy One. You don't look for the Holy One. Well, look at God, of course. Do we. You know, that's a real, I'm going to start for it right now. Bill Gaither and several of the contemporary writers have done Christians wrong. Oh, boy. He said, what? There was a group from the late 50s, maybe early 60s or so, that spent a lot of time writing songs about Jesus is my friend. Well, to make Jesus my friend, we've had to de-elevate him. Because we're not holy. Therefore, he's our one-on-one compadres, that he can't be holy. You see what I'm saying? I know that's a stretch, but that's what I really believe. And we think always, I'll ask not for show of hands, but I know that some of you don't. You've ever gone to what we call a 7-Eleven church? Okay, a couple of you involved. You know what a 7-Eleven church is? You seen the same 7 words 11 times? That's a 7-Eleven. And most of those songs are not about the holiness of God. So they say, oh, Jesus, my friend. What they're doing is they're taking away his songs. You know, after the person dies, a president is always to be called Mr. President. Even though he's not going to, Jimmy Carter is still called Mr. President. He's been out since mid-70s or 88 when Reagan defeated. The Supreme Court judge is always called judge. Because that's the position they've earned. Well, now, God, we've taken the holiness out of God. We don't respect him. He's just our buddy. Well, I'm not too sure that's the way it goes. Until I got to heaven, we called my parents mom and dad. Very rare occasion would I ever call him James. Even in work crowd, or the church, I would call him dad. Or my mother Joanne, I'd call her mom. That's what they were to me. Why do we, Joseph?
Man pulled in the driveway, said, "Is the old man home?" I looked him right square in the eye and I said, "We don't have an old man. If you want my father, he's in the house." He went in the house and he said, "Your son paid you one of the greatest compliments a son could give." My dad didn't tell me that for a long time.
That will slow your head. I would ask you to testify to that, Jean. Have I ever called you my old lady?
No.
Well, have roast beef for supper tonight.
You don't want any supper tonight.
If it gone the other way, it may have been Spam and Beanie Weenies. Yeah, I just, that to me is not, if you want to do it, that's up to you. I just, did Jeff call you your old lady?
He was raised by the same.
Well, should we not give God respect when we give the people around us?
Right.
Do you not call people sir and ma'am, or at least I don't know, the last generation, but our generation? God didn't design to deserve the respect. So how you were called, Professor? Did they call you by your first name?
No.
Reverend? And they failed and didn't tell you class over?
No.
Not that bad.
Well, I learned this morning that when I addressed Mr. Van Moon, it was supposed to be in the circle. So I called the father.
Well, you know who said it? It was a guilty dog laughing over here. Yeah, he too is wise and can bring destruction. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against the house of the wicked. It's God again against those who help the evil of the person. I wish he'd hurry up. Because do you not hardly hear a news program say the 6 or 6:30 news? Was that something going bad? Something being bad? I mean, we've got children killing children nowadays. Parents abusing their own children. I hate it. You ever notice that if you eat lunch, supper at 6 o'clock, eat lunch at 6 o'clock, your best friend. Eat supper at 6 o'clock. Somewhere in the week's time, there's going to be a report why you got a food full of food in your mouth about these children and the Department of Relations have gone in and your buttons on the floor. I'm not going to give you more description than that, but always right in the middle of evil. Nobody's ever said before. Listen to the news next time. Or don't listen, it'll make you better off. But the Egyptians are men, not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. And when the Lord stretched out his hand, He who helps will stumble. He who is helped will fall. Those who ask the Egyptians to help them instead of God will fall. Faith, if you wish. Both will perish together. I haven't told y'all, but I love politics. I have loved politics since I was 4 or 5 years old. I sit around here, my father and his whole family talk politics. Some trouble, some kind of whatever subject it was. I'm not a big fan of alliances, of giving in what you believe in just to get a deal made. Because when we begin to compromise, we leave something out that we believe in. Now, if it's not, as we used to say years ago, if it's not a matter of salvation, okay. But sometimes we have compromised on our own salvation. Then we need to do it. If you've noticed, every Sunday, we're going to have an invitation. Now, on the back of the bulletin, we'll say why we have an invitation. And I don't stop there. And most Sundays, they're not. I will give you John 3:16. You know it. But it fits. I'll give you Acts 2:38. You know it. But it's important. So why should we compromise anything like that? We need to hold strong to the faith. And this has given us a real reason why. So look through here again. Those who helps will stumble, and those who this helps will stumble, they will perish. They made a deal. They made a compromise, which is outside what God expected. And we should not go outside of what God expects. He's already told us the rules. But sometimes the rules seem harsh. If you don't want to say what man would give us son of serpent instead of a fish, what man will give his son a stone to eat instead of bread? He does what's best. This is what the Lord said. As a lion growls, a great lion over his prey, a whole band of shepherds is called against him. He is not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So the Lord Almighty will come down and battle on Mount Zion and on its heights. Does that not sound like a prediction of the future? It does to me. Where is Mount Zion? Huh? Jerusalem. It's a holy mountain. It's a temple mount. The battle is going to be fought on the temple mount. I'll say it again. When you see the big D9 caterpillars coming, or a huge fire raising, or an explosion on top of the temple mount, and that dome of the rock is gone, hallelujah, he's coming back. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what it says. He's going to battle for us. The time of the ancients. In some countries, instead of sending everybody to war and everybody down on both sides, they would send what's called a champion. There was a movie made, Charlton Heston, probably back in the late 60s or so, called El Cid. Some of you see it. El Cid was the champion for his king. And the great battle was waged, and the winner said, everybody died, won, and the champion that lost, it was his day of victory. God will be our champion through Christ. And God must be the Holy Spirit. Birds hovering overhead, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over it and will rescue it. He passed over the Jews once. There in Egypt. This is how he protected Jerusalem. Now, folks, very few of us, and probably many people who don't know, do know, have got any DNA of Abraham in this. There's some, this is for that. But anybody here 100% Jewish? I am. I was adopted. Tricky question, I know. I know, but there's the point. We've been, if you are like a Christ effect us, we are adopted. We become the sons of God and the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Therefore, when he speaks of Israel here, he's speaking to the Christians because they have been adopted into the family of God. And what a blessing that is. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have the last name of Levi or of Judah or of any of the other 11 We don't have him. We've got his name. And that's important. Return to you, excuse me, return to him. You have so greatly revolted against. Come home. Reminds me right here of the prodigal son. Come back to the Father. Get what you lost, or gave up, basically, I think it says. O Israelites, where in the day every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold, and your sinful hands, that your sinful hands have made. The things that seem so important to us will be gone. And whatever we've elevated before God will not be important anymore. George? For some reason, I think it's George Harrison, but it probably was John Lennon. Day of what, 67 or 68? We're more popular than Jesus. Remember that? Oh, I would begin with that. Maybe the younger old girl was getting down while she's not got an idea on which. Every one of you. We have a light that's out. You don't know what I'm saying? We have a light that's out. We don't know electrician. Assyria will fall by a sword that is not of man. A sword not of mortals will devour them. He's talking about the sword of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. They will flee before the sword. The young men will be forced into forced labor. The strong home will fall because of terror. At the sight of the battle standards, that's the flags they carry, the colors they carry in the battle, their commanders will panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jews. Now God has given us another prediction. The enemies of his, the enemies of Israel, shall fail. And so far, for every battle that America's gone into, we won, that we intended to win. We chose not to win Vietnam, though we were but a few days from it. We could have won Taliban if we'd gone after them, but we just decided to fiddle up there the past 5 years. But when we put our mind to it, we should not have been joining. They had the watch. And we had nothing to do. Ship good enough to go over to the other side of the country, the other side of the world to find them. Battleship, aircraft carriers are all ashore. But yet we did. And God will bless us. Verse 30, chapter 32. See, O king, see, a king will reign in righteousness. The rulers will rule with justice. Now we're going on the positive side. How hard do we research, think, or pray about it when we go into the election booth? We vote somebody who did the best commercials, made the best family on TV smile. Great commercial. 1-800-SEAN-KING. You all get that one up there? Everybody's aggravated as they go. See, a king will reign with righteousness and the rulers with justice. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that 100% in our country? If you watch the Elliot Ness movie, what's it called?
Untouchables.
Untouchables. How the judges of Chicago have been bought off. That's neither righteousness nor justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert, the shadow of the great rock in a thirsty land, a place to hide, ready to be protected. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed. Don't try to convince me. I've already made up my mind. Have you ever said that? Yeah. I love back. We went to Fort Myers, no, we went to Cocoa Beach. Right there at the boardwalk, they had a Pepsi challenge or a Coke challenge. Remember that? There was one person here remembers it. So they had a bottle of Coke and a bottle of Pepsi in front. They had little glasses full of one or the other. And they had a board in between. And you would take one, you take the other. You drive up there, so which one you like better? And the story is, Rebecca?
Christy was down in the terminal.
And she did come. Destroyed her. Her eyes were open. Taste buds were too that day. Eyes who see are no longer closed. Ears that want to hear will start to listen. The mind of the rash will know and understand. And the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. Will be recovered. What then? No longer will the foot be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly, the fool rather, that's even better. No longer will the fool be called noble, and the scoundrel be highly respected. Have any of y'all ever voted for somebody because a rock star or a movie star or an athlete told you to vote for them? Seriously. Those boobs can't handle their own story, let alone what's going on in the real world. And I did not run out and buy a good just because when Tiger Woods said, let your father do it. We should not be influenced by people who don't really know what we mean. No longer will the fool be called noble, the scoundrel will be highly respected. For the fool speaks folly. His mind is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness, spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty. From the thirsty, he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. Cell phone calls when you're not wanting them and try to get you to buy something, just go get your name, go get nothing, you don't need our click. Word or two is all they need to confuse you and to cut it to you. Be very careful. Scoundrel makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor and lies even the plea of the need that he does. But the noble man makes noble claims. By noble deeds he stands. I think we're called to righteousness and nobility for those first papers. You want to stop right there? Got to give you one extra minute to do the. Well, we can't start the next section. We're stopping nine. As we get ready for the dinner, Rebecca Jean, go to church. 6 minutes starting now.